Good morning, Teachers on Fire. Welcome back to another conversation here on the Teachers on Fire podcast. I'm very excited to be speaking today with Melissa Black. Melissa J. Black has been an early childhood educator and teacher leader for over 15 years. She's served as a teacher, a graduate professor, academic coach, co-principal, curriculum writer, and academic book reviewer. Melissa firmly believes that all children are capable of learning and achieving great success, and believes that the role of a teacher is truly the work of an activist and requires the skills of an artist. Follow Melissa on X at Parable of a Sower. Melissa, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Are you ready to light it up?
I'm totally ready. Good morning.
Why don't you start by telling us a little bit more about your current context in education?
Yeah, I am a first grade ELA teacher in Washington, D.C., our public school system. I teach at Whittier Elementary School. Shout out to Whittier Elementary School and the first grade team. Whittier is located in the northwest area of Washington, D.C., really close to Silver Spring and Hyattsville and Tacoma Park. So it's part of the Manor Park community.
Melissa, it is story time. Would you share with us about a low moment or an experience of adversity that you faced somewhere in your teaching or education career and describe how you overcame it?
Yeah, when I moved from New York City to Washington, D.C., I was really excited to join the team of this school that I had applied for, gotten into, had been following them, visited the school so many times. And when I got there, the kids were amazing. I got to loop with my students from second to third grade. Looping was something that I had always wanted to do. But slowly but surely, it became very apparent that there were a lot of boundary issues between the families and the staff. Boundary issues that if I say them, they just sound really bonkers, but families that, you know, there's nothing wrong with families coming and participating in your class and joining you on field trips and being part of the community. But almost every day I had families just in the room, kind of just watching, waiting for something to go wrong. But on the flip side, I had families asking, can my child sleep over at your house? Can you take them on like a guided tour of Howard University? So it was like this weird place of like, do you guys like me or do you hate me? I'm here just really trying to do my best. And I came to the decision that it was not a safe environment for me to work in. And that was one of the hardest choices to leave a school before the school year had ended. I think as educators, sometimes there's a lot of judgment around when someone leaves a place mid-year. But the truth is, like, you have to be in a space that's safe for you. And while I respect that school and the environment, it truly just was not a productive working space for me. I feel like because of the demands and constant, you know, monitoring on behalf of families, not staff, I was definitely doing my job as well as could be expected. It just caused nonstop worry about what's this text message going to say? What's this email going to say? And leaving was in one way, it was probably the best decision because where I am now is such a wonderful and loving and motivating community. And so for anybody who's ever like having that moment where you're like, should I stay? Should I go? Like, the kids are going to be okay. They're resilient and you're going to be okay. And in the end, you need to be somewhere where you're excited to do this work because it's hard work that we do every day. And you want to be somewhere where you're excited to get out the car and walk in and be with your students. And if that's not how you feel, then you got to make adjustments in your life or where you're working so that you can get back to that.
I love how you put that, Melissa. And absolutely, sometimes that change of scenery is really all that is required. If you feel your fire dying because of, in this case, boundary issues, some pretty wild examples that you shared there. I think that is a great encouragement to that teacher out there listening who perhaps is stuck in a similar kind of environment. And I have to say, that's a sort of community instruction or community practices issue that the people at the top of the school really need to focus on because communities learn that kind of behavior and those kinds of expectations and they need to be unlearned or they need to be corrected. Melissa, you love to write, and your work on Medium.com is really what connected the two of us. Tell the teachers out there, the teachers on fire who are perhaps interested in writing, what fuels you to write about your professional learning journey?
Yeah, I write to really internalize what I've learned and to internalize the feedback that has been given to me. I think it's one thing as educators, we're often in the space of doing. We're communicating to students, we're saying a lot of things, but as I write down what it is that I'm doing and trying to share that information with others, it really allows me to internalize the process of how to become a better teacher. So it's my own way of having professional development just for myself.
So good. And I know when we do share, it is of benefit to so many others, and it gets the wheels turning, and it can inspire, it can encourage, and people feel like I'm not alone in whatever it is that I'm taking on in the classroom. Well, Melissa, it's clear from your blog post that you've built a lot of expertise in the areas of phonics, reading, and writing. So what is setting you on fire about elementary literacy right now?
Yeah, I'm so excited about the transparency about how we learn to read and how students can become readers who then can read, learn, criticize, have dialogue. I think that it's not really new, the science of reading, but the push for a more data-driven instruction is just really exciting to me. It takes a lot of the guesswork that existed earlier in my career when I didn't really understand what it was that I was supposed to be doing and why I was being required to use the text that I was being asked to use. So I'm really excited about the fact that it's more informed.
Moving right along with that theme, how are you looking to grow professionally and improve your practice this year? Can you share about a specific professional goal or a project that you're currently working on?
Yeah, I'm using a new curriculum this year. So that is a challenge in and of itself, wrapping my head around. It's called Magnetic Foundations. It's a pretty cool tool. But overall, I'm working on having really clear and concise instructions for my students. I teach with an ELL population of English language learners, and I want to make sure that they and their classmates who do speak English as their primary language have the tools that they need so they can do their best work and function independently in my class, because small group instruction is important. We have to be independent in order to, you know, everybody have some equity within what we're doing in the classroom.
Outside of education, what's another area of learning for you, Melissa? What is it that ignites your passions when you leave the classroom and really brings you alive as a human being?
Another area that I just really enjoy reading right now. I'm having a lot of fun with reading different types of genres, exploring my own interest with that. I just started reading a book called Yellow Face. It's like just having fun with like pushing the boundaries of what I think I like and trying out different types of texts.
And then share about one phone app, personal habit, or a productivity hack that contributes to your success and keeps your fire burning. How do you get it all done, Melissa?
So Medium.com actually replaced my doom scrolling. So if someone is like looking for a place to be productive, learn something, get into like discourse with others, I think Medium's an awesome place to start checking out the work of others.
So good. You know, I'm going to second that. Absolutely. I'm in and on Medium whenever I can. It's hard during the week, but on weekends for sure. Well, we're moving into our rapid fire round, Melissa, and here we want to know about the education voices that are inspiring your practice. So starting at X, formerly Twitter, tell us about someone we should follow there and share why they've been inspiring you lately.
Yeah, I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. It's Sharon Kish. She's the 2020 Ohio Teacher of the Year. She does awesome videos of her really incredible phonics instruction and reading instruction. She's got so many ideas, and her kids seem so excited to learn. Love her.
And give us that handle again.
Yeah, Sharyn Kish, Kish.
Okay, perfect. Point us to an EdTech tool that you currently love using in your classroom or somewhere in your professional practice.
Yeah, I love Foundation's Fun Hub. If your school doesn't use the tool, you can get access to their online portal, which is great for tutors or like online instruction. I think it cost like $100 to get it, but it's worth it. Fun Hub.
Recommend one book, one that you've been reading lately or one of your all-time faves, and tell us why you recommend it.
Yeah, I'm going to give you three for kids. Okay. John Klassen, Square, so funny. If you are in the mood for like a fun, happy ending, Jasmine Guillory, her books are amazing. And just academic and personal right now, Atomic Habits, definite one.
Wow, such a powerful title. Absolutely. And Melissa, I'm putting you on the spot here. Are you a podcast listener? If you are, tell us what's at the top of your playlist.
I am a podcast listener. I think everyone in education has to listen to Sold a Story. It's breakdown of reading in our country and the challenges because of poor research is incredible. It will change your outlook on education.
Wow. Okay. Sold a Story. And then again, not everyone is a subscriber to YouTube channel, so you're forgiven if you don't have an answer here, but do you have a YouTube channel that has either been helpful in the classroom or you just find amusing in your personal life?
I'll share one for the classroom. Okay. English for ABC has like these cheesy and silly videos for articulation and phonics. My kids like them, but they're really cheesy, but the sounds look good stuck in your head.
All right. And then just for fun, Melissa, when you do have those rare moments when we can actually put our feet up and relax, what are you streaming right now on your personal time?
I'm not much of a TV watcher, but every now and again, I am on YouTube checking out the like fashion girlies, just seeing like fun clothes and inspiration. That's my guilty pleasure.
And the clothing hauls, right? Do you watch those?
I do. Okay. I do.
All right.
I do.
Very fun. Well, Melissa, you've been an inspiration to me. Always enjoy reading your content on Medium and on X. How can we follow you? What are the best ways to connect?
Yeah, so definitely on Medium, Parable of a Sower, inspired by Octavia Butler. On Twitter, same handle. And if it's something professional, you can find me on LinkedIn.
Well, thank you again, Melissa, for joining me today. And thank you, Teachers on Fire, for tuning in. I'm so grateful that you decided to spend some of your day listening to this podcast. I hope that in some way the content you heard from our guest today, Melissa Black, sparked your thinking and ignited your practice. And I'll meet you next week right here on the Teachers on Fire podcast. Take care, Teachers on Fire. Make sure you share an encouraging word to lift up a colleague and keep your own fire for learning burning bright. Bye-bye. Still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go.